Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin is daf Dalet, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim. We are holding on daf Gimel Amud Beit, and we were in the middle of the question of how we look at the Amot. What is the size of an Amot? Now, Abaya quoted Rav Nachman yesterday, but actually there are two sets of Amot. There's the Amot, which is 5 Tvachim, and there's the Amot, which is 6 Tvachim. And depending on the application and context, we'll take the Ama, which is the greater Chumrah. So where we need a greater distance between things, let's say for Kilayim, we'll assume that the Ama is an Ama of 6 Tvachim. Where we need to have something closer, such as the Korah, or the Schach of a Sukkah, which is closer to the bottom, or the Schach in a case where there's a hole in the middle of the roof and we're looking at Dofan Akuma, wherever it needs to be closer, there we will insist that it has to be close enough to match the smaller Ama size of 5 Tvachim. This is... This is actually a machloket in how to understand the Gemara. There are those who learn that the Chachomim had not determined which it is, and there are others who learn that this is mi'ikar adin of the original understanding of what the halacha is. We're going to see whether that's halacha b'Moshe Sinai or whether it's the way that the Chachomim actually apply the elements of the psukim and halacha b'Moshe Sinai. But in any event, there's definitely two different shiurim, and we're going to see that there's a lot more to this, because in reality, there is a fabulous pasuk in Yechezkel, which is one of the most psukim, confusing psukim in the entire Tanakh, which only makes sense if the pasuk is coming to define an ama differently for different things. And that really is the main place where we get into the question of the ama of the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, as we'll see later, versus the ama of the binyan of the Beit HaMikdash. What is considered to be binyan? What is considered to be keli? And that is a very important nekuda, because it defines the aspects of Mishkan and Mikdash, which actually this whole sugya is taken for granted right at the beginning. And that's why these things keep occurring in Sukkah as well. Every last element that we bring up here occurs in the first tapim of Sukkah too. So once again, the application to the sugyas that are not nogeh the Beis HaMikdash is somewhat peripheral, as we'll see. But that's what we're getting into over here. So we had three sort of wider questions, which was Mavli, which was our Shaila, which of course relates to Sukkah directly. We've seen that they parallel each other. And Kilayim. So this was what we'd gotten up to yesterday. And today, one line up from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beit, we find that there's a completely different version of what Rav Nachman said, which is not like Abaya at all. Rava quoted Rav Nachman as saying, Rava mishmeta Rav Nachman amar, kol amot arba amah bat shisha. All of the amot, of course, we're going to have to define what do we mean by all amot, or all amot all over the Torah, including Mikdash Mishkan and so on. But in any event, it sounds like he's saying there's no such thing as an amah bat chamisha. So that all Amot are 6 Tvachim by definition. The difference is that you mentioned Abaye, where you understood it, that it's a difference in the size of Lechumra in all cases. That is true, but it's not the difference between a 5 and a 6. It's a difference between a happy Amma and a sad Amma. That's the difference. Because when you're happy, your mouth opens, you spread your wings, and things are a little bit wider than they are, right? And when you're sad, you're all constricted, and, you know, you look like American Gothic, or, you know, like Ramban Gothic, but that kind of thing. Right? So because of that, it depends on the context. So halalu sal hakot, some amot are laughing, and some amot are sad. Meitvi. Kol amot shem ruch hachamim ba'ama bat shisha. Now, how exactly does Abaye understand this bright? Abaye says, "Beferish, oh amot bat shisha." Oh my gosh, that's terrible. I mean, he'll never make that work out, right? The important thing is that they should not all be precise. Now, what does that mean? So Bishlam of the Rava makes perfectly good sense. They should not be precise as a median ama. Rather, they should be extreme. That is to say, either they are tight or they are loose, depending on how closely pressed together the shear of the etzba'ot are in the tefach, the 4 etzba'ot of the tefach. Not really those etzba'ot. That's a mushel, but in reality, you're all thumbs. So if that's the case, so Rav, according to him, it makes perfectly good sense. But how could Abaye learn that? It makes no sense at all. Omalcha, Abaye, it doesn't mean all of the amot. It means all of the amot in the sugi of Kilayim. Or ba'ama ba'chisha, and that we said. And when it says, it doesn't mean they shouldn't be medians. It means that they shouldn't be a tight Amma. They should be a happy Amma in order to be more machmir. We're talking about six happy Ammas, and that keeps your Kelayim happily away. You can't say that. I mean, don't even say for Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, will you continue reading Abaya? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, all the Amot Shamru Chachamim B'Kelayim Ba'amah Bachisha. That's what you said the Chachamim were saying. Now, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying, all Amot in Kelayim are Ba'amah Bachisha, understanding, though, that they're not meant to be Mitzum Tzamot. Now, what does that mean? That means that the Tanakhama, against whom Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was arguing, he was talking about, no, all Amot, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, hold on. That statement you could say about Kelayim, but only about Kelayim. So if that's the case, there is no way to work out this according to Abaye. Okay, fine. You can't work it out according to me. But, I mean, according to what you're saying, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is me, right? He's saying exactly what I said. Fine, I hold like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, do something. So, lav mik Reb Shimon ben Gamliel de koi kafate. Okay, so now according to Abaye, there's no way out of the conclusion that this is a machloket tanoim. I mean, there's no way that he can make the Tanakhama work out. Is there a way, however, for Rava's version of Reb Nachman to make this true according to everyone, namely that Kilayim and Sukkah and Mavoy are all Ba'ama Bachisha, and nonetheless to make sense of the Machlokas of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim and apply it to something else? Amalekha Rava, yes. I would say that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is only, he's not arguing on the question of whether all Amot are six or not. He's only coming to say that the Amat Kilayim is lo yitzamtzem. In other words, he's coming to explain what the Tanakhama was saying. The Tanakhama was saying that they shouldn't all be mekuvanot. Comes on Shimon ben Gamliel to say, yes, you know what that means. It means that when you come to Kelayim, you have to be very happy to happily keep Kelayim away. That's what he was saying. So it's basically an explanation. Ah, come on, Rav, if that was true, would he say what he says, repeating the whole statement? Kol amot shamru b'kelayim. I mean, all he would need to say is, what is it a reference to? Amat Kilayim, lo yitzamtzem. But why did he re-mention Kol Amot Ba'ma Bachisha, Kol Amot of Kilayim? I mean, he's obviously coming to, but not what you think, not anything else. Now, what is that not anything else? Isn't that Sukkah and Mavoy? So that there's no way out of Rav is agreeing that it's a Machloket Tanaim as well. He's claiming that there is a five and a six, and the Rabbanan are saying there isn't. No. It's Lemu'ud Amat. So my love, sorry, the Mu'ud Amat Sukkah Mavui. So that is what it's coming to tell me is the Am of a Sukkah is indeed the Chamisha, which is what Abaya said in Reb Nachman, and Amat Mavui. So that would mean that both Abaya and Rava have to agree that it's a Machlokes Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. No, says Rava. We were assuming in Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that there's a discussion of all of the peripheral Amot that are not discussed beforish in the Torah. And that includes Kelayim, Mavoy, Sukkah, or anything else that you're going to be talking about Kelayim, about Amot in. But when you're talking about building, where does the Torah speak about Amot? In the Mishkan and its Kelim, in the Migdash and the Kelayim Migdash. And that's what he was saying. He was saying, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that getting to the roots of the issue, you must understand that there are, in fact, various Amot that are not Amma Bachisha, but you'll only find them, according to the way I understand it, says Rava, you'll only find them not in Sukkah and Mavoy, you'll only find them when it comes to the question of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, or the building of the Mishkan. And what is he saying? Kol Amot B'Kelayim, meaning and all the peripherals, as opposed to certain places where there will be an Amma Bat Chamisha, and that is the Amma Yesod of the Mizbeach, which is the lower Amma, and the Amma of the Sovev of the Mizbeach, which is as opposed to the Mizbeach itself, which is the actual platform on top of everything else, minus the Kronot, and minus the Sovev, and minus the Yesod, the Mizbeach is five. Is what we subtract. The Mizbeach itself is six. Now, where would we get such a weird thing from? From a Beferish, a Pasuk is where we would get it from. And let's see if you can make sense of this Pasuk if you don't understand this. It says in Yechezkel, Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach ba'amot ama, ama, ve'tofach, ve'cheik ama, ve'ama rocha, ve'gvula, svata, saviv, zeret ha'achad, Now I've made that very clear to you, I'm sure, v'zegav ha-mizbeach. Doesn't that make sense? Now you know perfectly this doesn't make one word of sense. What are you talking about? So, Ella, what you must be saying, that the following definitions are the midot of the mizbeach, where, in types of amot, where the ama includes an extra tofach. Meaning that all of the amot that we're going to be talking about, and I'll explain what I mean in a moment, says Yecheskel, or the Malach says to Yecheskel, that all of these amot are ama plus a tefach, except for the following. The chek is only an ama without, and we'll explain what each one of those things are, is a typical ama without the extra tefach. The ama of the rochav and the gvul around the edge, saviv, that is also in this smaller amma of five. And that's Zeret HaAchad, which is the Gav HaMizbeach, which now I'm going to explain to you each one of these things, okay? So here's what we're talking about. The Chek Amma, I need you to understand that the Amma of the Tefach will not include the Chek, which is a typical Amma of five. That's a reference to the Yesod, which is the lowest piece that goes all around. So that's the Chek. And then it says the Amma Rochav. Now the Amma Rochav was where you could walk around the Mizbeach, even though you're not on the top. And that is the Sovev. And that sometimes the Kohanim would go out. As a matter of fact, there was a special exit on the Kevesh that went up to that part. That's why it's talking about the Rochav. Because you would relate it in terms of Rochav as opposed to the Yesod, which is just a Chek. It's just a decorative of who's going to step on the Yesod. Not to mention the fact that it doesn't even go all the way around, because of the problem of the Chelek of Yehuda and the Chelek of Binyamin. So the words are very, very meduyah.
But it's not just for show.
So the
it's an actual use.
And that's correct. So the Chek, which is more like, it's a pretty belt or something. All right, but then you get the place which is the Rochav that you can walk on. So obviously that is the Sovev. Now when you're talking about now around the edges, Al Svata, what is around the edges which are right at the Gvula? Those are the Kranot. So the Kranot that are right at the edges on the four Gvulot, on the four edges of the square of the Mizbeach, those are also an Amma, but the minimal Amma of Chamesh. The Zeh Gav HaMizbeach, and you should know, there is an equivalent to a miniature Mizbeach. What's that? That's the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is also in this other type of Amma. But other than that, but there are Amma v'tofach of the actual Mizbeach. So take out the Gav HaMizbeach, which is a miniature Mizbeach, is really a Kli, and take out the Chek, which is the actual Yesod HaMizbeach, and take out the Sovev, which is the Saviv, and take out the Gvulot, which is the Keren, but other than that, you're okay. Other than that, you can be sure you've got an Amma v'tofach. So now the Pasuk is beautiful. And it's telling us that indeed there are two different types of amot. The machloket over here between Rav and Abaye is only whether that particular distinction, everybody agrees there are two types of amot. But what do we mean? How drastically different are they? So according to Abaye, they're drastically different. The Pasuk in Yecheskel that tells us the difference between the five amma and the six amma is also applied lechumra as the context demands in other dinim, such as mavui, sukkah, kilayim. According to Rava, yes, of course there are different amot. Nobody's going to argue on the pasuk. There's no other way to understand the pasuk. However, what Reb Nachman said Rava, was that the difference between the amot of other halachas, which need to be applied contextually, lechumra, is not as drastic as a whole extra tefach. It only makes the difference as to how tightly together the thumbs are in measuring the tefach of the standard amma of shisha tefachim. Now, once we've gotten through that, we go to the Shoresh HaDvorim about Mechitzot, which is exactly what we did in the Sefer Sukkah. Is this a din in the Torah? Is it a drabbanan? Is it halakha l'Rosh Misinai? We're getting an awful lot of detailed dinim over here, and we really haven't seen very now. You just sort of stirred by appetite. Because now I saw the pasuk in Yecheskel, and I see that there really is a very strong marker for this in the Nevi'im. What about the other halachas? On Rebbe Barashi Amarav, you should know that all of the shiurim in the Torah, how much matzah have you got to eat on Pesach night, and so on and so forth, and the dinim of chatzitzin, of what's considered to be a chatzitza in a mikveh, and the dinim of mechitzin, now that sounds like the question of how high a wall has to be, and the issues that we're talking about over here, all of those things are halachah l'moshe Sinai. What? Halacha l'moshe b'sinai? But shiurim are not only halacha l'moshe b'sinai. We know that shiurim are actually told to us in the Torah itself. Because do we not have that beautiful drasha on Eretz, Chita, V'Sa'ora? We look through every single word. There's the Chita, the Sa'ora, the Gefen, the Te'ina, the Rimon, the Shemen, the Dvash, every last one of those things actually represents an entire shiur of the Torah. Let me go through it one by one. The Chita. Okay, what is the shiur of a Chita? I'll tell you. The halacha is, if you read the Mishnah in the Goyim, Hadichnas Lebayat HaMenuga. Somebody walks in to a house that is affected by Tzorat. And he's not wearing his clothes. He's got his clothes on his shoulders. He's walking in from the beach. And he's carrying it on his clothes, but he's not wearing them. And he's got his sandals in his hands. He didn't put them on his feet. They're all filled with sand. And he's got his rings, not on his fingers, but he's carrying them. The halakha over there is everything that walks in, that enters into the Bayit HaMenuchah, becomes tummy instantly. So he and whatever he's bringing in with him are tmei miyad. However, if he's wearing his clothes, zayalavush kelav, and he's got his sandals on his feet, sandalav baraglav, he's got his rings on his fingers, v'tabotav be'etzbotav, because of the fact that, strangely enough, the Torah says two things, someone who comes into the house, and someone who eats in the house, now for heaven's sakes, if you're only coming into the house, you're tummy, who cares what you're doing, eating in the house, why is that nogea? So Chazal tell us that the meaning of the eating in the house is that where you have things that are bottled to you, your clothing, your shoes, and so on, those are not considered to have come into the house themselves. And they only become tameh once there is a higher madrega of tumah on you, where once you sit in the house as shir of achila, then you are also metameh begonim. And this kind of metameh begonim, we know, appears in many different guises in the different tumah. And when it comes to the tzarat, it begins only at the point where there's a shiur of, which is called a shiur of shihiyah. And that shiur of shihiyah is bichtei achila. So what is bichtei achila? Ach yesheh bichtei achilat pras. And achilat pras is well-known, and of course we have that machlokas, three beitzim, four beitzim. But what is it defined as? Oh, it's got to be bread that is made out of wheat, not bread that's made out of barley, which is more difficult to chew and more difficult to get down. It's a shorter shiur. And it's somebody who's concentrating on his achila, his mesav, he's sitting down properly, and he is ochel beliftan, and he eats it with a little bit of butter or dip, which makes it easier to eat. And that's chita, because chita is this din of achilas pas chitim. What is the sa'ora in the pasuk of chita v'sa'ora? Oh, that's a different halacha. That's the Mishnah in Ha'alot about the shiurim of tuma. So over there it says, etzem kisa'ora. Oh, wow. So a sa'ora, barley-sized piece of human bone, is metame, but it's only metame b'magu b'masa. It's not metame in an ohel. For that, there's a completely different shiurim, gesayis bas or viyazdam, or rove of a skeleton, and which we'll get to when we reach all of it. Gefen, now what is that? Well, the Torah says a nazir is chayav malchus if he drinks wine. How much wine? Kedei reviyaz yayin lanazir. The te'ina, well, we just finished the second Shabbat, we know what that's all about. The shear of almost everything is kigrogeret, and a grogeret is a dried te'ina, and that is lotza'at Shabbat. Well, you're looking good today, Rich. Rimon kiditznan. I just heard the whistle. Rimon kiditznan. Kol kalei ba'alei batim shiurin kirimonim. What are pomegranates for? Obviously, pomegranates are in order to decide whether a kli is considered to be broken and therefore no longer is tame, or it can't be makabel tumor because it's got a hole that's so big in it, even pomegranates can fall out through the hole. But of course, this would only be kalei ba'alei batim because, again, you will notice that people keep their old couches to the point where when you look at them, you think, well, these guys must be very poor. Now, of course, when they finally get around after 30 years to buying a new couch, and they see their couch in the dump, they wonder, how the heck did we have something like that in our house? My God! But while it's there, somehow...
Here's the sweet spot.
You might want Katie to say that.
So every couch has that one spot.
Yeah. So, Balabatin. tend to hold on to things. If I could find a new way to use it, yes, it used to be a beautiful serving dish. When it first got a hole, I figured, well, you know, at least I can use it for grapes. Then the grapes started falling out of it. So I put in apples, and the apples, I said, all right, I can still use it for pomegranates. But once the pomegranates start falling out, I finally realized it's time for a new bowl.
Not grapefruit?
So that's, no, grapefruit's too recent. So that is the Shir of Rimon. And then when we get to Eretz Zeit Shemen, so what is that Zeit Shemen? Oh, well, everybody knows about the Kezayin. Gosh, everything is a Kezayin. So Eretz Shekoshi Urea Kezeitim. What do you mean Koshi Urea? You just gave me a long list of things that are not Zeitim, and now you're saying everything is Zeitim. I mean, you know, most things are Zeitim. So Koshi Urea Salkataita Chayika Hani Damoran. I mean, oh boy, you got to watch your mouth around these guys. Eretz Sherov Urea are Kezeitim. And what is Dvash? Dvash is a reference to nice, juicy dates. And what is that? Ekotevet hagasa, a juicy date. What is the shear of a juicy date? That is considered to be a violation of the dinim of Inui on Yom HaKippurim. And if you eat that much, then you are considered to not have been ma'ane nafshotechem. So how did you say it's halacha l'mosh mi-Sinai? Do you mind if I ask you a very simple question, v'tizbara? All of this stuff that you told me, you read that in the pasuk? Pasuk talks about wheat and barley. You've given me a 20-minute drusha. Wheat means a bayit hamanuga, and how it is. I mean, it doesn't say anything about any of this stuff. You made it all up. So obviously, we got that not from the pasuk. Shiurim michtav ktivi. It's obviously halacha l'mosh mi-Sinai, which is what Rav is saying. We're putting it. We insert it into the pasuk. So that means the rabbanon were masmich these shiurim on this pasuk. Take this one pasuk of Eretz Yisrael, go through the various meaning, and you have a remez in every mean to remember. Of course, not all learn that it's just mnemonic, but that it's a smach, that means there really is meant to be somach on this in the Torah, but it's not enough information, in which case we obviously still need the halacha l'mosh mi-Sinai. So let's move on to the next part of what Rav said. So the next thing Rav said was chatzitzit. What is considered to be a chatzitza for tefillah? Chatzitzin, I don't learn that out of a halacha l'mosh mi-Sinai, I learn that out of a Farish Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, as everybody knows, V'rachatz b'mayim et kol bisaro, right? What does that mean? So V'rachatz b'mayim et kol bisaro is what it really says, not kol bisaro b'mayim, like it says over here. This teaches us, listen, it's all got to be in there, okay? It's got to be lo yedavar chotzeitz bein bisaro l'mayim. It's got to be in the water, b'mayim. Furthermore, it's got to be ba-mayim, not bi-mayim. It's got to be in the special mayim, the water. Okay, so what are we talking about? In a mei mikveh. In other words, something that is all in one place that holds the water together. So I can see all the water, which means I do not need, this is talking about a balkari, but as opposed to, there are cases where that's not good enough, where I need mayim chayim. But in reference to balkari, it's sufficient to be ba-mayim. And then it says kol bisaro. When it says kol bisaro, that means you've got to be able to put the whole body into the mikveh at one time. And that is something where kol gufo olevem, therefore let's be big enough in defining what is a mikveh. A mikveh is something for kol bisaro. And what is that? Well, the body would be an amah by an amah with three amot high in order for it to fit you in. And that, if you measure that, shiaru chachamim, that would mean that a mei mikveh, however it is that you happen to spread that out, is arba'im sa'ah. So, there you go. Why do I need the halacha l'mosh mi-Sinai? It doesn't say anything about your hair, does it? So you might think, okay, hair, I mean, we're not talking about anybody's hair, you know, I mean, stuff like that, obviously, is more chashuv than the body, you know, but my kind of hair, you know, so that kind of thing, you figure it's not really very important. You know, so we need the halacha for sa'aro. And that is a big chiddush, like Rabba Bar Avuna. The Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, do we really know about the sa'ar? This is an amazing halacha, that if there is a knot in a hair, then that is chotzeitz, and that hair does not count, because the water can't get into the area of the knot. But if you got three hairs together that are knotted, because hair is so tough, you can't knot them close enough to prevent water from coming in. So that's not a chatzitza. Shtayim, I don't really know. So that means that we got this whole halakha to teach us, obviously, the fact that they're... Oh my gosh.
What could it be?
It's funny, I was just thinking the same question myself. So we've got three hairs definitely are not chotzeitz. One hair that's tied to itself is chotzeitz. Two hairs together, I'm not sure. But meanwhile, we certainly know that the hair is needs to be No, sarah namidiraiti. Why do you say that? I need to know the sar from halacha l'mashmisina. I read the pasuk. What about that word et? You don't should everything except the et. So for akatz b'mayim et kol b'saron. Now what's an et? An et is always a tuffel. It's an add-on. Well, what do you think is tuffel to your flesh? Your hair, which means v'zeo sar. Okay, so I know it from the pasuk. I'm still asking you. Will you tell me what this supposed halacha l'mashmisina is? It was there to tell me. Of course, I'll tell you. Kata yilchata, the shear of the chatzitza. You're saying chatzitza. So therefore, you need to know rubo, miuto, and the difference between makpid and eno makpid, and all of this is basically the teaching of Rav Yitzchak, as Rav Yitzchak taught us. Remember, Rav Yitzchak, look, Dvar Torah, rubo makpid alav chatzitz. Only midiraita, only if it covers most of your body, whatever it is after they tarred and feathered you for sleeping in, you know, the daf yomi or something like that. So if that covers most of your body, and you care about the tar and feathers, I mean, there's some people who forget, hey, they're going to do it tomorrow anyway, I might as well just leave it there, you know. But if you're makpid on it, and it covers most of you, this is a brilliant idea, actually, but if it ain't no makpid alav, so then it's not chotzeitz. Now, the Rabbanan were goes, there are two gezeres. First of all, if something covers most of your body, then even if you're not makpid on it, it's a chatzitza. And they made that gezerah because if it wouldn't be, you might not realize that if it was a rove that you were makpid on, that it's a chatzitza. So they had to answer a rove. But they were also gozer on even a miut if you are makpid, because they were afraid that if you said, gosh, I can go in with this tar on my arm, I guess there's no such thing as a chatzitza, then you go in with a rove. So because of that, they were gozer on miut ha-makpid, mishum rubo ha-makpid. Now, why aren't we gozer on a miut she'eno makpid? Because of a miut ha-makpid. I mean, once you're telling me I can make the mistake, so you should say anything on you, you need to get off of you. Or why aren't we gozer it because of a rove where it's eino makpid? I mean, because both of those cases, you said a miut ha-makpid or a rove she'eno makpid, at least min rabbanan, is going to be a chatzitza. So heck, let's just answer the whole thing. Oh, come on. I mean, he goofed gzeira. We only answered the first step because it's a gzeira. So you're going to come now and make another gzeira for the gzeira. Vanan nekum min igzor gzeira le gzeira. Why not? It's actually a machlokas. Why not? There's a beautiful chuvas agayim. Why not? That says, once we do that, there'd be no end. We would manage to figure out how to answer everything. So therefore, there's got to be some way. Now, little did they perceive that we'd figure it out anyway. But at least we should. We just keep doing the next step and the next step and the next step until we'd be mitmale b'gzerot. This is the lashon of the truth. Others learn that it actually comes from a pasuk. You're supposed to make mishmeret for mishmarati, make a mishmeret for my mitzvahs, but not a mishmeret limishmeret, because then already it's not about me. And that's the case. It's an even more profound issue. Now, getting back to the halacha over here, there's a fascinating Rashi, which Tosfos is aghast about, where speaking of tarring and feathering, where Rashi says that the din over here of rubo and miut and so on is a din in the hair. So if you have most of the hairs which have been knotted, that's what we're talking about. So says, what? What do you mean? And the din of busser is that this whole din of rubo and miut is not nogei and busser. And he brings riots. It certainly is. You can have a spot that you don't care about of something on your arm. If you generally go around like that and you don't care, I mean, then it's not going to be a chatzitza. So indeed, other Rishonim explain, answer to this kasha, including the Ritva, that of course Rashi doesn't mean that. Of course he doesn't mean it. But what Rashi was saying is a fantastic chiddush, and the truth is, of course, that everybody knows this chiddush, because it's clear in the nature of the Gemara itself. And that is, a sa'ar that has a knot in it, the sa'ar is the chatzitza, not the knot. So therefore, if most of the sa'arot are knotted, then even though the total area that doesn't have the water coming into it is minimal, Nonetheless, the sarot are going to be chotzeit, which are tremendous finish. Why indeed would that be true? And everybody is toreach. What would be the svar of such a thing? And that is how indeed we pasken. Although there is a machlokas rishonim about whether the sar on its own, without taking into consideration the size of the sar vis-a-vis the basar, or only taken bekolel with other chatzitzos on the basar. Okay, but that's a separate thing to some extent. We obviously can't go into it that deeply here. So it seems clear that the idea of the tvila of sar is not an extension of basar. It's not that you need to get your hair into the mikveh the same way you need to get your nose into the mikveh. It's that a hair that won't go into the mikveh is a chatzitza of that area of the basar. What defines a hair that won't get into the mikveh? A hair that won't get into the mikveh. Meaning it's not that you can't get it into the water completely. So it's a different din of chatzitza. It's not the chatzitza of the sar, it's the exclusion of that sar which turns it into a chatzitza on the basar. Therefore, if there's a knot in a sar, exclude that sar. So that means that part of your basar that has that hair follicle in it is not in the mikvah. It's a chatzitza. Now there's obviously a tremendous difference between not being in a mikvah, which is vis-a-vis the sar, or the sar acting as a chatzitza. If the slightest bit of you didn't get into the mikvah, you didn't go into the mikvah. That's not a din of chatzitza, that's a din of tefila. You have to be kol b'saro. But so therefore, for the sar didn't get into the mikvah. I don't care how much the sar didn't get into the mikvah, you see. But when it comes to din of the basar, which the din of the sar is only et, which is tafel, it's a completely different halacha over there. The basar's in the mikvah, now we're wondering whether a chatzitza preventing the water getting to you, what would that take to say, even though you're in the mikvah, it doesn't count. Fine. Anyway, back to the sugya. Obviously, we're not being osik. So one hair with one knot excludes that hair.
Can it still grow, or is there any issue?
No, it's very happy hair.
It just seems strange.
Yeah, what you do is, you know, you cut off, see all the split ends. You cut off the split end.
It just seems.
Okay, let's continue. So we've got this stuff. The next thing that Rav said is mechitzot. Mechitzot. Halachah should be Sinai. We learn mechitzot out of a posik in the Torah. You're right, Taninu. The Omar Mar. If you count the height of the orain equals 9 tvachim, because it's Amma v'chetzi. 6 plus half of 6 equals 9. The kaporet is 1 tefach, which gives us 10 tvachim, and we know that we darsh the shechina is bein, it's right there on top of the kaporet, to be in a different rishos, which shows us that 10 tvachim is the distance that is necessary to separate rishuyos. And me'olam lo yarda shechina lamata. So that means a wall would have to separate one area from another area with a minimum of 10 tvachim. Ah, yes, but according to Rav Yehuda says that the Amma of the Binyan is an Amma bat shisha, but Amma of all of the Kalim, including the Oran, not just the Mizbeach HaZahav, is Amma bat chamisha. Then you've got 5 plus half of 5. Uh-oh, we're missing, it's 7.5 plus 1 tefach, 8.5 tvachim. Where do you get 10 tvachim? That must be according to Mitzalok Lavash B'Sinai. Well, okay, fine. And according to Rabbi Meir, who says all of the Amot Rabbeinu Niot, Ma'ikel HaMeimah, so according to him, I don't need Halacha. No, I still need Halacha. Because even I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, Ki Atai Hilchata L'God, L'Lovud, L'Dofen HaKuma, there's many strange dinim when it comes to walls. One is the good Achit, one is good Asik. If you've got a wall, but it's not touching the ground, or you've got a wall, but it's not touching the roof, can you draw the virtual wall down, or can you draw a virtual wall up? That's how Halacha Lamash B'Sinai would come up with something so crazy. And then this din that we had of all along, Lovud, if it's within the 3 tvachim, it's considered to be a connection. I mean, that's like magic. And Dofen Akuma that we just spoke about yesterday, where you've got a hole in the middle of your roof to put your schach on, that it could be 4 amas from, where do you get that from? That the wall bends over. Those are Halacha Lamash B'Sinai, according to anybody. The only difference is, are they happier or are they sad? Now that makes perfect sense according to Rav. According to Rav, that means they shouldn't be mekuvanot, but rather according to Abaya, what is it supposed to mean? Amal Abaya Ema Amat kilayim erba mabat shisha. How can it mean that? If the Braita goes on to say, Midikdani Seifa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Amot, Sha'omro Kakomi, Bekielayim Ba'amabat Shisha, Ubavad Shelo Yumetsu Tzamot, so obviously the Tanakama was referring to more than Kelayim. He was saying, Kol Amot Kama. okay, fine. So Lav Mikra Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Koikavate, so leave me alone. Nandadamri, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, so there's no way out of it according to Abaye Vadei Tanoi. What about according to Rav? Mileima Tanoi, Omer Lecha Rav? No, I can make everyone agree fundamentally. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is only coming to me Mefarish, Shalat Al Hashmina. When it's said that there's a difference, it's Amat Kelayim, you have to be very careful. So then just say, Amat Kelayim, Lo Yitzam Tzem. What do you have to put in the words, Ba'amabat Shisha, if you're only defining what it said? Obviously, that's coming to say only kilayim is b'amat shisha, as opposed to what lav lamute sukkah and mavui. No, to be meute ama yesod v'ama soved, which is a pasuk that's not up for grabs, because as it says in Yecheskel, ve'ela midot hamizbeach ba'amot ama ama v'tofach v'chek ama v'ama rochav u'gvulah sfat asaviv zeret ha'echad v'zega v'amizbeach, which obviously means the ama v'tefach except for the chek ama, which is the yesod, the ama rochav, which is the soved, the gvulah sfat asaviv is the kronot, and the gav ha'mizbeach, which is the miniature, in other words, the mizbeach hazahav. Shiurin? I thought they're diorita. Don't we dash the pasuk of Eretz, Chitah, Sorah, V'Gefen, V'Teinah, V'Rimod, Eretz, Zeshemen, Udvash, and we learn Amar of Chanan, call up pasuk azeli Shiurin Nehma, Chitah for the Mishnah of the dinim of Bayit Amunuga, Anichnas v'Bayit Amunuga v'Kelav Aktifav, Sandalav Tavot Abiyadav, Uvein Tmei Miyad. But if he's Lavush Kelav, if he's got his sandalim Baraglav, if he's got the Bo'otav Be'etz Bo'otav, then Hu Tmei Miyad, Ve'ein Torin Achishe B'chtei Achilat Pras. And what will he eat? B'chtei Achilat Pras? Pat chitin, lo pat zorin, and he's got to concentrate eating the way Mesa of Ocha beliftan. So that's chita. Sora, that's referring to the Mishnah and Oalo. It's not etzim kisora, mitame b'magu b'masa, ve'ino mitame b'ora. Gefen, that's a reference to the din of Kedei Revi Itiyai in Lenazir. Te'ina, that's a reference to all the Hotzat Shabbat, which we said normally is Kigru Geret, which is a dry Te'ina. And Rimon, Kedetran Kobale Batim Shiurain, if they're broken, are Kibotze Rimonim. Eretz Zeit Shemen, that's the land where everybody's always talking about, is it a Kazayat? Is it a Kazayat? So Kol Shira Kizetim, Kol Shiurel Sakadaita. You just gave me a holistic Ani Damaran. I mean Eretz Sharov Shiurel Kizetim. Dvash, that's a reference to a nice juicy Kotevet Agasa LeYom HaKippurim. Well, come on, Tizbra. I mean, does it say anything about all these Shiurim here? It just says a list of species. Shiurim Michtav Ktivei. Obviously, they're Hilchatun, you know. Which is why Rav says they're all Alokha Moshmi Sinai. Now let's move on. Chatzitzin. Chatzitzin? Yeah, local Moshmi Sinai is the right, you know. Tichtivra chatz ba maim et kol besoro. That teaches us, first of all, lo ye davar chotzeitz ben besoro lo maim. And furthermore, ba maim means it's all got to be bechunas in one place, a main mikvah. Kol besoro, that means mayim shekol gufo olabem at one time, and that would be an ama la ama when you're all pressed together, berum shalosh amot, and the chachamim remeshayer, that would mean arba imsa. So may mikvaz arba imsa. So what do we need the halacha for? Well, I still need the halacha l'saro. Get a rabba baravuna. I'm a rabba baravuna. Nima achat kshura chotzetzet l'basar. Shalosh enan chotzetzot. Shtayim in yodea. Saro, that's also in the pasuk. It says, rochatz et ko b'saro. Et means hatafel b'saro. What's tafel b'saro? Zel sar. Okay, but still, I need the halacha to tell me. Rubo miuto. We need makbid, rishino makbid. As comes across in Rabbi Yitzchak, don't Rabbi Yitzchak. Really, Devar Torah, only rubo makbid of chotzeitz, sheino makbid of aino chotzeitz. We were goes our rubo sheino makbid, bishum rubo makbid, al miuto makbid, bishum rubo makbid. So, I mean, why not go all the way? And ligzer nami amuto sheino makpid mishum miuto amakpid or mishum rubo sheino makpid, which you just said is a gzeret aser. Well, he goof a gzeret aser. I mean, anekum min igzor gzera le gzera. Okay, next piece. Mechitzot, mechitzot, halacha l'mishmi Sinai. I thought we learned out of a pasuk. The Omer Mar Aaron is Amah v'chetzi is Tisha. Kaporet is another Tefach. Areikan Asara. Well, that's not according to anybody. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says Amad Binyan, which includes the Orei, was an Amah bat Shisha, so then an Amah and a chetzi is only 7.5 Tvachim, plus the Tefach of the Kaporet is 8.5. Amat kelim is amat bat chamisha. I'd explain that. It must be it's halacha l'mishmi Sinai that we know 10. Yeah, fine. And according to Rabbi Meir, who holds all amot rabbeinu niot of shisha. So then, what are you going to say? So according to Rabbi Meir, there's other things that we learn from halacha. Good asid, good achid, lavud, daven akuma, and that we'd never make up on our own. Let me tell you. Today's daf is daf dalet. Is it. And we learned yesterday, Machlokas, between Abaya and Rava about how to understand Rav Nachman. Abaya says that according to Rav Nachman, we have two different sets of amot, an amah that's made out of 5 tvachim and an amah that's made out of 6 tvachim. And we always follow the necessary adjustment depending on we're dealing with a kula, so that we would have to go up to whatever size makes it up. A chumrah, or we're dealing with a situation which the smaller size is a chumrah. We gave examples, actually, in every single area that we brought up of some things would be l'kula and some things would be l'chumrah. We ended up saying most things, maybe, in certain areas. Like most things by Kelayim, it's a chumrah if you have the longer one. Most things by Sukkah and by Mavi, it's a chumrah if you have the shorter one. Okay. That was a biased pshat. Rava says there is no different amah. All amot are amah bat shisha. The only difference is that there are happy amot and sad amot. There's kind of amot that are laughing, meaning that the etzba'ot that you measure them by are a little bit apart from each other, and there's the other kind in which the etzba'ot are close to each other, as a person who would be sad would squeeze himself tightly, holds his body language is tight. And here, too, the etzba'ot are tight. The difference, according to the Rajman, the way we paskin, is basically a difference of 1/48 between the two. Because it's a half of an etzba per amah, and an amah is 24 etzba'ot, it gives you basically about 2%. Meitzvet. Kol amot shamlu chachamim. We're on the last line now of Amud Beit. Kol amot shamlu chachamim ba'ama bat shisha. Here it says clearly in the Braita, any type of amah that the chachamim spoke about, and this means dafka that the chachamim spoke about, because there are certain amot that are mentioned beferush in the pasuk in Yecheskel, as we'll see later, that they are unique and that they're measured by 5 tvachim. But all of the amot that we discuss in the Mishnayot of Mavui, of Sukkah, of Kilayim, and so on and so forth, they're always bat shisha, although bat shelo yu mechuvanot, but you have to be careful that they should not be too exact, meaning you've got to adjust according to the situation, either to spread the etzba'ot out or to press them in tightly, and that way you're allowing for the natural variations within amot. So now, Bishleim Rava, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Shelo yu mechuvanot means that certain times the same amah bat shisha is sochakot, they're expanded, and sometimes they're atzavot. But according to Abaye, I mean, the very statement that all amot are bat shisha stands directly opposed to his claim that there are many amot that the Chachamim gave us that were bat chamisha. So this doesn't make any sense according to Abaye. He seems to be very positively out of the running based on his writing. Abaye says, Abaye, well, now wait a minute. When it said over there, kol amot shamru chachamim, it meant kol amot shamru chachamim b'kelayim, of course. And that's ba'amat kelayim is ba'amat bat shisha. Sorry, Abaye, but that's not going to fly, because if you continue reading, Amidiktani Sefer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol amot shamru chachamim b'kelayim ba'amat bat shisha.
So obviously, the Rabbanan, we're not talking about the Abba Kilayim. It's Shimon Leo who introduces the concept of Abba Kilayim. Ubovat shelo yom mitzum tzamot, and they shouldn't be too exact either. That means Michlal, in other words, according to the Bible, would have to mean that they shouldn't be compressed into the fire. Michlal the Tanakama was referring to Olamot literally. It's under Shimon Gamliel who says Olamot of Kilayim. Second, Abaya claimed that the Tanakama was also talking about Kilayim. Then why did Shimon Gamliel suddenly raise, oh no, no, Kilayim? So it says Abaya, okay, fine, great, you're right, 100%. But, I mean, now it's a Machlokas, right? So Lav Mik Shimon Gamliel, the Koy Kavati. Obviously, Shimon Gamliel agrees with me. Otherwise, why did he say it's limited to Tamash of Kilayim? So it's according to Shimon Gamliel, indeed, there are Amot about Chamisha, Tvachim and Amot about Shisha, which is what I said exactly. Ha! So thank you very much. In trying to disprove me, you've given me now a limb to crawl back on here. All right. So then, I mean, if that's the case, how did Amr Kip Shem Gamliel? So according to me, I'd be going with Shem Gamliel Shita, we're Machmir by Kilayim for an Amabat Shisha, and we're Machmir by Sukkim by Mavui by an Amabat Chamisha. In both cases, a Chumah. So according to Abaya, look, Abaya's got a problem. I mean, he's stuck with saying, I hold like Kip Shem Gamliel. Okay. So Labaya Bada Tanoi, I mean, the only way he got out of this problem was by saying that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it fits, but not according to the Rabbanan. Does Rava have to admit that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that indeed other amot are meant to be bat chamisha? Or can he explain, perhaps, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel wasn't even coming to argue? Maybe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was just coming to say, be careful not to be mechavein. No, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was only explaining what the Rabbanan were saying, it would always be Bat Shisha, fine, but when you come to Kilayim, and the Bat Shisha ends up being a Kula, I mean, so then, if it would be Mechuvan, you have to be careful, it shouldn't be Mechuvan, lo yitzam tzein, meaning, make those six Tvachim that are laughing, which is bigger, and that way you'll be Machmer properly. Yep. So, I mean, but why does he repeat the word Bat Shisha then? He should have just said. And when it comes to Amat Kilayim, make sure that you're not being Mitzam tzein. In other words, I'm using now an example. The Chachomim said they shouldn't be mechuvanot. Okay, what does that mean? So it comes on Shem Gamliel. Well, when it comes to Kilayim, not to be mechuvanot means to give them a bigger space, wider space, whereas in the other cases, you might say, oh, you mechuvanot, be careful to make it a little less. I'm coming to point, understand, you've got to be careful to make it a little more. But the thing is that he shouldn't have re-mentioned the word Bat Shisha. Of course, Bat Shisha. We're always talking about Bat Shisha. Why are you saying, no, by Kilayim it's Bat Shisha? So in other words, you're arguing that the Chachamim hold that it's not always Bat Shisha. So then, Lema Amat Kilayim lo yitzam tzein, period. That would be perfectly clear. Why does he throw in the words Ba'ama Bat Shisha? Lemute Mai, as opposed to what? I mean, as I imagine, Lemute Amat Sukha Ba'amat Mavui. In other words, exactly what Abaya was saying, which shows at least that there's a shita among the Tanoim that agrees with Abaya, namely that of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that when it comes to Amat Sukkah and Amat Mavui, we better use an Amah Bat Chamisha Tvachim. Says Rav, no. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is not arguing on the Yisod that every single Amah that is mentioned in the Chachamim is an Amah Bat Shisha. He just wants to make it clear to you, there are Amot that have to do with the Torah, like Kilayim, which are also Bat Shisha. But there are also Amot that are actually mentioned in the Torah of the Farish, and they may not be Bat Shisha. And those are Lema'ute Amah Yesod V'Amah Sovev. When it comes to the Midot HaMizbeach, the Yesod, which was an Amah high off of the ground, extended outwards to 32 Amot around the Mizbeach, even though it calls that an Amah, the Amah over there means five Tvachim. It was five Tvachim high. And the Sovev was also around the middle of the Mizbeach, was an additional Amah in which it went in. So it extended outwards, was one Amah in from the Yesod, and one Amah out from the actual body of the Mizbeach. So it was 30 Amot around. And there, it also is a reference to a Knisa of not six Tvachim, but five Tvachim. How do we know that? We only know that from the Farish Pasuk in Yechezkel. Because in Yechezkel it says as follows, and this is again the famous engineer Malach, who's giving him all of these various midot. So he says, Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach ve'amot, ama v'tofach, this is a crazy pasuk, ama v'tofach, v'cheika ama, v'ama rocha, v'gvola svata saviv zeret echad, v'ze gav ha-mizbeach, which is very clear. So what is this supposed to mean? This is everything like that. So what it's supposed to mean is this. In other words, Eile midotem is ber ba'amot. Of what type of amot? The type of amot in which a standard ama would be an ama v'terchav. So in other words, these, I'm about to give you measurements in amot that are really one tefach less than the standard ama. A normal ama would be an ama v'tofach of what I'm about to show you. This is how Rashi learns. The problem is that the Targum Yonatan specifically says not like that. But I'm giving you amot that are an ama v'tefach of the other kind of amot, which means that they're, which is much more the simple meaning of the pshat, which is mashmash referring to the larger amot. And that's a little problematic, because then the rest of the pasuk seems to be referring to things which are the smaller amot. The Gra says it's all very simple. If you take a look in the Tosefta, you find that we introduce the idea of the amot with this pasuk. We say the Malach is first introducing the concept of a dual measuring system of amot. So he says, the things that I have explained to you above about the Ariel and the measurements of the Beit HaMikdash and so on, those are one type of Amah. What I'm about to explain to you now about the Chayk and so on and so forth is a different type of Amah. The two Amot being an Amah, which is the equivalent of an Amah plus a Tefach of the other Amah. Now you know, there's an Amah about Shisha, there's an Amah about Chamisha, and the Amah about Chamisha applies to the following. Namely, continues the Gemara now, namely, the Chayk Amah. The Chayk is basically a belt around the bottom, so that's the Yesod. Then there's also an Amah, which is Rachav, it's still wider than the Mizbeach itself. That's referring to the Sovev. Then when it says Ugvulas Vatas Saviv, what does that mean? Something that creates a boundary and that goes all the way around is referring to a square at the edge. Well, we know what that is. That's the Kronot HaMizbeach. There's a square of an Amah at the edge of each of the four sides of the square of the Mizbeach. That's the Kronot, which is also made out of the smaller Amah of five Tvachim. Gava Mizbeach, there is also a Gava Mizbeach. Now that's not referring to the Mizbeach that we just spoke about, but rather another Mizbeach. The Gava Mizbeach is the Mizbeach Azahav, which is also measured in an Amma. That's just a small thing, it's an Amma. Itself is an Amma, and it's measured by an Amma Bat Hamisha. So what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was coming to say, don't confuse the Amma Bat Shisha Bat Kilayim, which is the Oraita, with the Amah Bat Chamisha, which measures the sum of the measurements of the Mizbeach. And it's very specific what is measured. For instance, when it comes to the Yesod HaMizbeach, although the height is indeed an Amah Bat Chamisha Tvachim, the insert, that is the distance of the step itself of the Yesod, is an Amah Bat Shisha, when we finally figure out the whole actual number of Tvachim on the top of the Mizbeach in Menachot. So it's very specific what it's referring to in the Pasuk. That's all Rav Shimon Gamliel want to make sure, is that we don't jump to the conclusion that there's no such thing as Amah Bat Chamisha. But certainly, says Rava, nobody supports Abaya's opinion that there are different Amot in the Shiurim and the Chachamim. There are, but not Chamisha and Shisha, but rather Sochakot and Atzafot. That's the only difference.
So that is the Sphere then?
You lost track of what happened here?
So that completely
knocks out Abaya? No, Abaya is happy. Abaya insists that it's a machlokas tanoim. Rava says, no, there's no machlokas tanoim. Over here, Shimon Gamliel was just clarifying the application of the Tanakama, and he also was clarifying this for all of the people in the peanut gallery, that you shouldn't get confused about the various amot and the psukim. There are certain amot that are bat chamisha tvachim, but they'll never enter into kol ha'amot shamru chachamim is ba'ama bat shisha. That's a given. And that's how we pass it.
Different.
It's a remes to another mizbeach. And this is also the gav of that other mizbeach, which is an amah. And that's the amah of the mizbeach hazah. Om Rakhia Barashi Om Arav. Here's a beautiful piece of gemara that we've had many times before. And it'll certainly ring a bell, and so we'll be able to fly, just glide through it as if we're Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Om Rakhia Barashi Om Arav. Shiurim. Jonathan Livingston Seagull certainly didn't let his head go down and fall half asleep when he was sitting there on those air currents. He was excited. And I don't mean when we fly that we get tired or anything. Yalu Eva Kanisharim, actually. That's how Seagull, man. That's heavy duty stuff. So, Amr Pchia Barashi Amarav, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Aloch and Amosh Misin. We're going to clarify exactly what we mean. But as we know, there's a lot of numbers and a lot of detailed dinim that don't seem to have a place in the Torah. how much do you have to eat in order to be chayiv? What size of a thing on your body is considered to be a chatzitza? All of these weird halakas about walls, the 10 tefachim high, and the good achit, and good asik, and lover, and lof and akubas. Woo! Where does it all come from? And that actually all comes from halakha of the Moshe Sinai. Don't expect really to find a mocker in the Torah for it. So I said, what do you mean? Shiurim? Why, shiurim are clearly the oraita, as we know, because it says in the Pasuk, Eretz Chita, we measure Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chita, Sorav, Yefem, every known Eretz Hashem and Vash. What are we measuring? Well, as it says, Rav Chanan explains, Rav Chanan, Kala Pasuk HaZed, Shiurim Nehmar. Obviously, the Torah wouldn't just be talking about simple things like fruits and stuff like that. They have to have some halakhic implications, right? So, yeah, it turns out to be. But the Gemara will say, well, obviously, it doesn't say that now, does it? So, chita, when the Torah talks about Eretz Yisrael having chita, what that means is the chita that defines the halakha of anichnas lebayit hamenuga, v'keilava ketefav, v'sandalav taba'otav biyadav, who the heim tmei miyad. First thing doesn't have a shear. Somebody walks into a bayit hamenuga who's carrying his clothes, not wearing them, who's carrying his rings, not wearing them. So anything that comes into the house becomes tamei right away. This is called tumat bia, similar to tumat oil, but it's not quite the same as we'll see. And being in the same house in which you have the tzarat, you become tamei, without touching anything. But, hayalavush kela, on the other hand, if the guy is wearing his clothes, and he's got his shoes on his feet, he's got his rings on his fingers, then indeed he becomes tamei right away because he's a nichnas. But his begadim, which are bottled to him, will only become tamei when he is at the stage of being tamei to be metamei begadim, which is a higher level of tuma. There's some people that are tamei, and there's tamei litamei begadim, sha'alav, and then there's other stages in which you can become so tamei, let's say touching a maid, that you can be metamei begadim even when you're not wearing them, because you become an avatama yourself, which this is not a case of. But you can be tamei to be metamei begadim, but only if you were there long enough. So then he becomes tamei right away. But he only reaches the stage of being tamei, litamei, to the begadim and the rings and so on, when he is there long enough to eat. And he has to be achi yishher. He has to, because I mean, the Torah says like funny things over there. It says that the person, ha'ochel babayit yichabesit bigabav. Who ever heard eating? When there's a new type of tumah, if you eat in the house, then you have to wash your clothes. What's that supposed to mean? So we darshan from that pasuk that if you're there long enough to eat the shi'ur, which we'll define in a moment, then you'll have to wash your clothing, meaning you'll have to put your clothes in a mikvah too. So that means there's a certain amount of time that is necessary to be shoher. And how much to be shoher, to be matami, you be your begadim? Achi yishher b'chdei achilat pras. And it has to be long enough for you to be able to consume an achila of the standard pras, which is the half of the full soda, which is 4 beitzim, according to most. And what type of pot would you be eating? Pot chitim. Ah, that's what the chita is for. Because pot sa'orim, you gotta chew much longer. Pot chita is easy to eat. Velo pot sa'orim, we're talking about concentrating on your food, mesa, sitting back on your eating couch over there, and your ochel beliftan. I mean, it's not just dry bread, it's hard to chew and get down. It's got something to schmack on, it makes it easy to swallow. That's the shear. So when the Torah said that Eretz Yisrael has a land of, is a land of chita, it means a land in which if people eat tas of 4 beitzim of chitim and not of sa'orim, then their begadim will become tamei. Anybody who reads the pasuk could see that clearly. In which case, it must be that the chita, the shear, is a deraisa. Furthermore, why does it say eretz se'ora? Because it says in the Mishnah, etzem ki se'ora, metamei b'maga u'b'masa, a bone from a corpse that is the size of a se'ora, even though it will not be metamei ba'ol, only full spine, and we had rov binyano, and so on, but a single bone will only be metamei b'maga b'masa, never ba'ol. And what shiur of a bone the size of a sora? Gefen?
The size of a barley
is supposed to be a chitma. Yeah. The size of barley is supposed
to be a chitma.
It ain't the same. Yeah. And, as a matter of fact, Richie and I just took a little tour of a chitma and sora farm to make sure they actually bought them back with me, but they got
one barley piece.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the case of the Sora, and clearly anybody who reads the Pesach sees that that's what Eretz Yisrael meant. And then what the shiras of Geffen? Geffen is Kedei Revi'it Yayin LeNazir. Now Rashi says here, Kedei Revi'it Yayin LeNazir, don't turn the page so fast. Kedei Revi'it Yayin LeNazir means that's the amount of Yayin, and that's why it says Yayin, because it's a revius, which points out it's ridiculous, but then it has nothing to do with the wine. It happens to be wine, it's for another. But tell me that the Geffen is Yayin, that doesn't make any sense. All the other cases we're using the thing mentioned in the Pesach to define
the size.
So therefore, says Tos, was actually Rashi's own peerage in Sukkah, it makes much more sense. And that's really the pshat. He's being a little bit quick over here. He's worried about people falling asleep in Daf Yomi. But the real pshat is, as Rashi says, that the shiurim of eating, not the wine, but eating the grapes, or eating the leftovers of the grapes, the leaves of the wine, and the chartzanim, and so on, the shiur over there, very interestingly, is not a normal shiur of foodstuff. It's rather a shiur of a revius. How do we talk about a revius, a liquid measure, when we're talking about solids? We simply Archimedes it. In other words, what we do is we throw it into a cup, and at the point that we've got a revius that is forced out of the liquid, that's the shear. So you'll say, what's the difference if the liquid is water, if the liquid is wine? Then that we should need Geffen as wine to be Mashiach the Revius. The difference is in Vikasim. Mm-hmm. So that if you have a Revius of wine, the wine has a greater surface tension and will go over the edge of the Revius more than a Revius of Mayim. That difference is what we use wine, to define the shear of a Revius of Anavim Echartzen. And then it really is what's mentioned in the Pesach.
Which tells us the amount of grapes itself.
Right.
So it might be half a bucket of grapes. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Rashi, really? Like
that? Yeah, that's what Rashi's chatting. So Kedei Revi'is Yayin Lenoitz. Te'ina. Ah, the Te'ina. We just got finished all Masechmas about Te'inas. Except that we called them Grogrog, because they were sort of dry Te'inas. But okay, but a Te'ina, when it's dry, is the shear of just about anything that you're taking out on Shabbat, any foodstuff you're taking out on Shabbat. That shear is chashuv for hotza'ah. Rimon, well, why would we mention rimonim just for Rosh Hashanah, you think? We obviously mention rimonim to tell me the shear of a broken kli. So if you have a kli made out of eitz, and you're not in the kli business, you're just a plain balabos when it comes to keli. So kol kli ba'alei batim, shiurim k'rimonim. As long as the hole is not so large that a rimon will fall out of the serving dish, you could use it as a serving dish for rimonim, so you can throw it out. So there is your shear of rimon. And then, why do we call it Eretz Zeit Shemen? Ah, because all of the shiurim are kezesim. What do you mean, all of the shiurim? Kol shiurim, you just gave me all list of things that aren't kezesim. How about the etzim kesaora, the pat chitim? I mean, you know, most shiurim. Eretz Sherov Shiriyak, as I see him, like all the Shirim of Achila, to be Chayav in Achila, food that's also, be Achila, in Kachim that's also, nicer, Pigo, to be the Shir of Maga, is the Shir of a Kezias, the Shir of Tuma Basrameis, is a Shir of Kezias, not a Shir of Kesaura. Almost anything you could think of. You know, everybody knows a Kezias. How many people know a Kechita? How many people know a Lechem for Kesaura? Aren't they anybody? Okay, that's because almost everything is Kezias. And then what's Dvash? Dvash is honey. That ain't bee honey. That is honey, which is talking about a kotevet agasa. The date is viewed as honey in the Torah, and that is the shear of not being ma'anet nafshechem on Yom Kippurim. So if you eat the shear of the kotevet, then you violated the ta'anuet nafshotechem, which is not achila. It's being not suffering. And that's a shear of kotevet.
Than a Zion.
Mm-hmm.
It's
more than a date. Right. A date. Nice, yeah, date nice, back. Juicy date. Okay, so how did you say that Shirim are Alakha Lameshimi Sinai if anybody who reads this pasuk knows the Shirim? Oh, come on, man. Vitizbra. Shirim Mikhtaf TV, were you telling me that somebody reads this pasuk has the slightest idea it's talking about Shirim? Obviously, it's Alakha Lameshimi Sinai. We took the pasuk and we pointed out that everything in this pasuk is Mechuvan. Keneged, one of the Shirim, Alakha Lameshimi Sinai. But of course, it's Alakha, since it's a Hilchot Aninu, Asmechino, Rabbonu Nakroi. Fine. Then the next case, you said, Chatzitzin, Alakha Lameshimi Sinai. Chatzitzin, Alakha Lameshimi Sinai. You're telling me if I would read the pasuk of the Torah, I would think you could have a Chatzitza and go to the mikvah? But it says in the Torah, Virachatz, actually it's quoted a little bit longer over here, it says Virachatz Bamayim et Kol Bisaro. It's the pasuk. So Virachatz Bamayim means that there has to be contact with the water. Shelo Yedavar Chotzeitz Bein Bisaro Lamayim. Bisaro has to be in Mayim. So there you go. That's the Nechatzitza. Bamayim. What's Bamayim? Hey, Hayidiyah over here. Is there some special water? There is indeed. You can't go into a bathtub. You have to go into a main mikveh. And when it says kol bisaro, mayim shekogufo lebahem, this is coming to tell me the size of a mikveh. It has to be large enough to fit a standard body in it. V'kamain, how much is that? One amma by an amma and three ammas in height, in which the chachamim were misha'er that the amount of water that would fill that space is 40 saw. So why are you telling me that chatzitzin are not obvious in the pasuk? That's obvious. Ah, but gitzuchichat al-saro, you wouldn't know from the pasuk that your hair can't have any gunk in it, right? You'd think your hair could have gunk in it, because it says bisaro, and sar ain't pasar. So hilchat al-saro, ukir rabba baravuna, the yomar rabba baravuna, nima achat kishurachot tzetzit, if you have even a single hair that is tied, so that's a chatzitzin. Shalosh, you've got three hairs that are tied together. They don't tie it tightly, and therefore they allow water in. That's not a chatzitza. If you've got shtayim, then eini yodea. But anyway, there certainly is a din of chatzitza nesar, which is not in the pasuk. Oh, yes, it is, says the Gemara. Saro nama diorayta yi. Titanya v'rakatz et. You forgot that et, didn't you? You did everything else. The heya yedia, the rakatz b'mayim, the kol b'saro, but you missed the little et. And that's where the action is. Because et means even the tafel, that which is secondary to the basar. What is secondary to the basar? Zehu sa'ar. Which means that even if I read the pasuk, I know that you cannot have a chatzitza in the sa'ar. Okay, but it doesn't say how much is a chatzitza. The halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai comes to teach me the shiur of the chatzitza. So ki ata yilchata l'rubo u'lemiyuto. There's a difference whether it covers rov, whether it covers miut. Whether you're makbid on it, whether you're not makbid on it, as Rabbi Yitzchak points out, the Yom Rabbi Yitzchak, Devar Torah, Rubo u'makbid alav, chotzeitz. Midiraisa, the only type of chatzitza that counts, is if you've got rov. Now here Rashi is masbi rov sa'ar. The reference back to the hair again, that less than rov sa'ar won't be a chatzitza. Actually, most Tosfos is bothered by it, so it brings rayas. Otherwise, we're talking about in general. It has to cover rov, whatever it is you're being, whatever it is you're being tovel, including bisaro. And saro is one thing, which indeed is also like that. So if you have rov and you're also makbid, what's on you, then it's chotzeitz. But if you're a painter and you always have paint on your skin, and you're not makbid, and you're not makbid on having paint on you, then you can go into the mikveh painted. And that's not considered to be a chatzitza. Somebody else who likes to get paint on him, off of him, it would be a chatzitza. This is all miniraisa. So Devar Torah has to both cover most of you, and it has to be something that you want to get off of you. But if you're not makbid on it, or it doesn't cover your body, most of your body, or your hair, then ain't no chotzeitz. It's midrabbana that we extended that to include gazru arubosha eino makbid, that if you're a painter and most of your body is covered with paint, then we have a gezeira that even though you don't care about the paint, it's a chatzitza. Why? Because people will get mixed up between that and a case of rubo amakbid. And we were also gozer on something that you do want to get off of your body. You have something filthy that you definitely want to get off, but it's only a miut. We were gozer on a miut that you are makbid because we're afraid that if we let you get away with that, that you'll go and now even go in with rubo amakbid. I mean, so why don't we just go all the way? Why don't we go, because we're on a miut she'eino makbid also, even a little bit, when you're not makbid on it, because if it would be a miut that you are makbid on it, then it would be usur. Or because, if you're not makbid on it, but if it was rov, it would also be a chatzitza. Yeah, okay, but those two cases are only a gzeira themselves. You're going to now make a gzeira for a gzeira? Let's be gozer, a miut she'eino makbid, because either a rov that you are makbid, that you aren't makbid, or a miut that you are makbid, both of which are themselves only to rabbanim. We don't make gzeiras for gzeiras. So yiguf gzeirah v'anam nekum and exor gzeirah l'gzeirah. So that, anyway, that whole sugya of makbid, or eino makbid, or rubo, or miuto, that's what we were referring to when we said halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And now the next case we said was mechitzot. Mechitzot? I thought mechitzot are also in the pasuk, the Omar Mar, because we learn out from the fact, that is back in Sukkah, or ahead in Sukkah. The Omar Mar, it's one of the things that Daf Yomi gives you, you know, is the sense of past and future all being related. So the Omar Mar, Aron Tish'a v'kapora tefach, areikan asara. If you, since in Sukkah it gives the whole drasha. The drasha is that me'olam lo yarda shechina lemata. And yet it says that the Shechina will appear on top of the Aron and the Kaporas, benakubim, from which we learn that the distance between the earth and the top of the Kaporet is a different rishos. That defines a different rishos. And it turns out that that's ten tvachim, as a result of which our concept of rishut is ten tvachim, and a mechitza, which comes out to distinguish one rishut from another, must be a minimum of ten tvachim. But that means that we learn it out from the height of the Aron and the Kaporet. The Yomamar Aron Tisha, this is Amavakaitzi. Amavakaitzi is 9 Tvachim. Kaporet is an additional Tefach, so it's 10 Tvachim altogether. Harekan Asara, so you know, therefore, that we have now 10 Tvachim. Ah, yeah, you're right. In fact, if you hold like that, we should have left out the word Mechitzi, maybe. But we're talking about Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda holds, and here's how these two sugyas we've had today into relate. Rebbe Yehuda holds that Amat Binyan Bamabat Sheshet Amak. And the Amat Kelim Ba'amah Bat Chamisha. Where you're talking about building the Mishkan, you're talking about the Krashim and so on, you're talking about the Yiriyot, those indeed are standard Amot. But when you're talking about the Amah of the Kelim, and the Aron was one of the Kelim, when it says an Amah over a year and a half, it's not referring to 9 Amas, to 9 Tvachim. It's referring to an Amah Bat Chamisha, which is 7.5 Tvachim. So when it adds now an additional Tefach, it's still a total of 8.5 Tvachim. 8.5 tefachim doesn't give you a shear of a mechitza 10 tefachim. So obviously you couldn't have gotten it out of the din of Aron and Kaporet. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we need a raya. Okay, but what about according to Rabbi and according to Rabbi Meir, who says that kol ha'amot hayu beinoniyot, ma'ikel ha'meimar, why does it say according to Rabbi Meir that the shear of mechitzot is diraita? Is meaning halacha l'moshe min Sinai. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, kata yelchata l'god. Lovud, Ladovan Akuma. I mean, you could tell me that the shear of 10 Tvachim is the Uraita. We don't need Alakha Moshmisina. But where do you get all this other magic stuff? That there's such a thing as a Mechitza that is hanging in the air and we bring it down because the edge is facing down. Or a Mechitza that's only built halfway up but we bring it up to touch the Schach. Where'd you get that from? Gud Asik, Gud Achit. Where'd that come from? How about the fact that if something is within 3 Tvachim, something else is considered to be solid? How about the fact that if the wall between the distance between the schach and the wall is up to 4 amot with pasul schach, that's kosher, because the wall is viewed as having magically bent at 90 degrees to hit the schach. Where'd you get all that from? Huh? Hogwarts? No. All of that magical stuff comes from Halakha Moshe Sinai. So even according to Rabbi Meir, we still need to know that lots and lots of mechitzot are Halakha Moshe Sinai. And that concludes our exciting daf for today. Well, if you're not happy, I'm happy to have it too long.